Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in, Joe Cacera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that are following us on Facebook. We appreciate that. And we continue to build the audience. Obviously, get the show out and expose as many people as possible. However, this is the podcast. We do the show, obviously, on the social media side to get people to follow the show and just more and more people to educate and inform about real estate. However, we'd love to have you download the podcast if you haven't already done so. You could do that at iTunes, at Stitcher, Google Plus, anywhere on the internet. You go to RE Radio Live and just type in Real Estate Radio Live, no matter where you are, and get the podcast. Love to have you download the podcast. That way you can listen to it at your convenience whenever. So we try to keep a pretty good schedule if we can. Mondays we do a show about 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and that is on accessing equity without debt on property. It's a good topic we've been showcasing for a while. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, we try to stick to right around 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time for those following us on Facebook. So it's Wednesday, and you know Wednesday. If it's Wednesday, it's me and Mike D'Ambrosio, two Italian guys talking real estate. Here we are, back again.
What are we doing over here?
That's right. So we're going to be, as we always do, talking a little real estate, having some fun, and educating you, hopefully, and giving some good advice.
We hope.
If anything, hopefully we'll just entertain, if nothing else. The good combination of entertainment and real estate. So today our topic is going to be strategies in a changing market. And, you know, before we jump into this, Mike, it's funny to me because, you know, if you've been in this business a while, you've seen changing markets.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I just got into this business, when the market changed, I was like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? Does this mean life's over, business is over, and all that stuff? And then you realize that all you need to do is keep doing what you do, number one, but continue to educate yourself and understand what a changing market means. So to me, I guess the way I want to start this, so changing market's not negative.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people take it that, oh, my God, the market's changing.
Yeah,
so
no.
Talk a little bit about that.
No, I agree. I mean, it isn't negative. It's a good thing. I mean, we can't go on this upward trajectory forever, and anyone that thinks that we should be or that it should is, you're really, you know.
Sleep at the wheel.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a little nicer than
Joe knows me. I was probably going to say something a little bit more mean, but the point is that, thanks for that.
Yeah.
I think it is a good thing, and especially when it means a change for the healthier, mm-hmm. I guess is what you could call it, this change.
Kind of a breather, right?
Yeah, a breather, and it's healthy. This is more of a normal market.
Mm-hmm.
I really wasn't that excited about people paying $300,000 over the list price and having 30 offers on a property. I don't think that's a normal, mm-hmm. healthy thing to be happening. As much as a lot of you out there probably think I'm full of BS right now because I'm a realtor, I don't think that was great. I really didn't. And I'm sure there's realtors out there that probably think the same way. I'm also sure there's realtors out there that liked it. You know, I mean, there's all different sides of the fence. But the point I'm getting at is, it's good to have change, especially this type of change where there's more of a normal, happy medium.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I would take the glass half full and say that it's nice that it's a leveling adjustment back to a kind of a normal market, because we could have the opposite, right? We could have this huge decline.
Yeah, like all the stock market yesterday.
All of you guys remember that around in 2008 and 2009, mm-hmm. with the mortgage meltdown and what affected that. Now, the difference is, again, when you have the economic factors in place like we do to Silicon Valley, I'll continue to say, we talk about it all the time, we're going to have adjustments up and down. Here is the thing, unless something changes on the business environment side, it's still a strong business. I mean, this area is an extremely strong business area. People make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
There's a high cost of living. Certainly there's some downside there for sure for the service industry and others, I understand.
Yeah.
But the point here, Mike, is that as long as it's a really strong, desirable place to work and live, and make money. You know, we're always going to have some ups and downs, but I guess my point is, unless something comes along that we don't know of, and that could happen too, a little bit of adjustment in the market and back to a normal market is really good.
It is. It is good. And I think that this area is a little bit more shielded from major market catastrophes than maybe other mm-hmm. areas, because we do have such a strong economy in this area. I think I heard the other day that isn't California like one of the top five or seven largest economies in the world?
It is. Matter of fact, I think it's like number seven or something. Yeah. It was something like that. Yeah.
And then the Silicon Valley alone is like in the top 20, I believe.
Yeah, right.
So that's not to say if the economy takes a huge dip or whatever, it's not going to affect us, but I think it definitely affects us less than mm-hmm. it affects the rest of the nation, maybe outside of New York. So that's going to be interesting to see how that, you yeah. know, how that comes about. I guess what I'm getting at to your point is like, we still live in a very good area.
Yeah.
And then, just to come up with a side note that we didn't really prep about and talk about before the show, but the whole Google thing is yeah. going to be really interesting for this area going forward. And that just got approved yesterday by the city council. They approved the memorandum of mm-hmm. all these different deals that to sell the land
right.
as a city. And so that's going to be interesting to see how that's really going to shape the future of this area for the next mm-hmm. few decades,
yeah.
in my opinion.
No, it is. And if anything, we all should be worried about or concerned about, honestly, is how this market affects the average person or service person or someone that's trying to actually get into a house for the first time, a teacher, a firefighter,
absolutely.
A service, someone in a... I mean, I don't care. There's, well, you know, we forget about that, but...
It's hard. I mean, you
yeah.
know, my family's in the restaurant business.
Yeah.
It's hard to hire people now because mm-hmm. they can't afford to live here. Fortunately, we have a lot of people that work for our company that have worked for us for
yeah.
for a long time,
right.
a lot of tenured people. But it's really hard to get new help right now just because they can't afford the living.
Now, yeah, it really is. So I'll take this position, you know, for example, in that when the market's adjusting now like it is or it's back to a normal market, what's nice for me to see is people, the buyers, on the buyer side, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, there's finally this breather allows for buyers to get out there and qualify, and pricing comes down a little bit. Maybe you qualify for a little bit more. And there's a lot of different programs out there to help you qualify. So
yeah.
in this sense, good for buyers. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to talk to Mike a little bit about, ask him, again, from a seller's perspective. We're going to do two things. First part of the segment, we're going to talk more about kind of the seller's philosophy and their psychology in terms of what are their thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Are they nervous? What happened to the market? What does that mean? Should I not put my house on the market? So let's talk about that first, Mike. When you're meeting with sellers right now or potential sellers or someone that's listening now or listening to the podcast later,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you either sit down with them or meet with them or talk to them on the phone, and their question to you is, Mike, gosh, you know, I really want to list my market. I really want to list my house,
yeah.
but I'm concerned about the market. I'm not really sure what to do. What is your response to that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of parts to that question. I would say the most recent listing appointments I've been on,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's really kind of a sobering conversation, I think,
yeah.
for some sellers because they've had their heads in the clouds for the past few years. And which is understandable.
Sure.
And in a nice way. And, you know, I guess to first start out is no one ever looked stupid making a profit, number
mm-hmm.
one. So let's keep that in mind, is that if you've owned your house out there for the last 3 to 5 years, you're doing just
done
fine.
Well.
No one is feeling sorry for you,
mm-hmm.
but you got to readjust your expectations a little bit at this
right.
point. And so that's really, it's more of an expectation setting is really important now when it comes to looking at the value of your home and what to do with the home. But what I would say, getting back to your question, I would really say, look, it's a really important to make the house look good, prep it really well.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to look totally dialed in, and we got to price it right.
Right.
Those are the two main things that you have to do to sell a house right now.
Yeah. What do you think, and these are some of the stuff that I'm reading, hearing in the marketplace and industry, what do you think about the philosophy of taking the other side of it now instead of, you know, let's say a home is worth $1 million and someone says, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to list it for $875 and just get people going crazy.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about that?
I would say that theory is not as, it's not going to work as good as it used to.
Okay.
In this market, I think you really got to price it at about what the market value
okay.
is. And I've even seen some people bump it up a little bit to leave some padding, which is like, you know, you always hear sales, well, let's leave some room there, you know. It's not a terrible idea at this point in time, in my opinion, but I think ultimately your best option is to try to price it as close to where you think the market is and try to get right around that. Yeah. You're not going to get some crazy bidding war. When people are a little bit freaked out right now about what's going on in the stock market, case in point yesterday, and you know what's happened with the market the last 6 months, I don't see a lot of people bidding $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 over houses right now.
Yeah.
So that's really not a good strategy.
What about, as we're talking about this, and I'm sure it's happening, are you seeing some listings now and notes and listings and real estate agents maybe adding motivational things? Like, example, are you seeing someone saying, you know, something to motivate buyers, you know, willing to negotiate, possible buyer's credit,
motivated seller,
so is that
buyer's credit?
Okay.
I'm doing credits right now on a couple new construction houses I have for sale, which is not an uncommon
tactic
that builders use, but we're using that. So you're seeing that motivated sellers.
Right.
You're seeing on the back end between agents, you're seeing commission incentives, you know, higher commission rates paid out, bonuses. All sorts of things to try to bring people to the house. So, yeah, we're seeing some things that we hadn't once seen before. And, again, that's all signs of getting back to more of a normal market. And then also what we're seeing now, and we've talked about it on shows before, and we probably will a little bit later when we talk about buyers, but is seeing, you know, seller credits for closing costs. I've even started to see repair requests from a buyer, which is definitely not something that's happened the last three-ish years, because – if you are a buyer and you put in a repair request to a seller to fix a bunch of stuff on the house, they were telling you to either kick rocks and we're going to go with the next offer we have or take the house as it is, you know? Well, now that a seller doesn't really have that option, maybe if they don't have a backup offer or they, you know, then it's kind of hard. They got to swallow that pill.
In some ways, the reason I like these kind of markets and the normal markets are when people are forced to think a little bit more. God forsake, we got to think a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, I mean, there are all kinds of different ways to get a deal done.
Yeah.
You know, and I know we haven't heard it for years either, but if someone is really motivated to get out of a house and they're trying to get into another house, and they have the money available, and there's all, I understand there's factors, but, you know, we may start seeing a little bit every once in a while, some seller carry back. We may see some strategies where, I mean, if someone really wants to say, hey, listen, I have a commitment over here, I have a lot of room here in my equity, right, or whatever. I'm just saying that there are a lot of different ways or conversations that could be engaged. You could engage in a lot of different conversations depending how motivated people are.
Absolutely. Creativity is really important in real estate, and I think a lot of people miss the mark on that, and there's all sorts of ways to get a deal done. 100% agree with what you said.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot to that. So as we kind of finish up on the seller, so you would say, again, it's sit down, figure out, price it right, make sure you get your home really looking as good as you can, because there's going to be some competitive issues there. What is the market like these days? We didn't talk about that. What's inventory? So at the
inventory
same?
Is starting to drop, just seasonal drop, you know, to the end of the year, to the end of December.
Holiday time.
Yeah. It's going to get lower. People are taking houses off the market to take a break, and we're going to see the normal seasonal slowdown. But it's not going to be like it was last year, where when we started January 2, we're going to have 200 houses for sale in the entire county. That's just not going to happen, because we have like triple or quadruple the amount of inventory at this time last year than we did the year before. So it's going to go down. It's just not going to be the insanity we saw probably in January.
I got a great idea. Just came up with it right now, and we got to be careful because people might be listening to it eventually.
Yeah, what?
Why don't we create a real estate around the same strategy as Black Friday or the holiday sale and just go like, pick a day and say, this is it.
No, it's
house
good.
House is going on the market, right?
Yeah.
The marketing strategy.
It is a good marketing strategy. And I've even, there was an agent in our office that was offering a Black Friday special on one of their listings where the seller was going to offer $10,000 off on Black Friday
there
or something like that.
I mean, hey.
And we can do Cyber Monday. We can make all sorts of things
Psychotic
happen.
Psychotic Thursday. I mean, whatever you want.
Exactly. So, no, there's all sorts of things you can do. But to kind of wrap up the whole seller situation right now, I guess you could call it, is really it's about expectation setting, know what's going on in your local market, what are the comps looking like, what's been sitting out there for a while and why, what's wrong with it or what's the pricing there, what can you do to prepare your home the best to sell, and then what's the marketing plan? Yeah.
You know, I'd say the other thing about seller, which you and I have talked about before, I think that we can't spend a lot of time on, but...
You run the show, Joe.
That's
so
true.
Like,
I run the show. Is this... When you meet with a seller, don't you want to know what motivates the sell, the reason for the sell?
Absolutely.
The reason, Mike, I say that is that to talk a little bit about this. For instance, if a person really wants to relocate, or if a person really wants that buy a house upgrade, buy a house, or you know, move up or downsize, whatever it may be, that conversation can go real deep, because how motivated are, if they have a house, for instance, they want to buy and they want to downsize, for example, right? The conversation now is about, yeah, you might get a little less for your house, but guess what?
It's going to help you accomplish your goal.
Yeah. So I think that's got to be a part of the factor too, right?
Absolutely.
In other words, it's not just, hey, what can I get for my house? Why are you listing the house? What's your motivation? How motivated are you? Are you just throwing it out there to see what you get?
Yeah.
Are you relocating or moving out of the state? I mean, I think when you get those triggering questions for someone and ask them, you could probably find out more about their motivation.
Absolutely. I agree. Not a whole lot more I could add to that. That's perfect.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. For those watching on Facebook, stick with us, and we'll be back with you in just a minute.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
How would you like the opportunity to secure a record low interest rate while buying and or selling your home? In addition, how would you like to save 20% or more on your entire real estate transaction? Finally, how would you like to bundle all your real estate services in one location? Well, now you can achieve this with BundleSelect.com. That's right, save on real estate lending and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. BundleSelect's hand-picked team of experts will save you thousands of dollars by bundling real estate lending and title services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for years. I'm here to tell you BundleSelect.com is the best way to save money on real estate. By bundling services, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. Visit BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with the national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. BundleSelect, Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker License Number 0046-6902.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's topic or guests, just visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Live, Joe Cachera.
Welcome back in. Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live. We are in studio today with Mike D'Ambrosio. It is Wednesday, typically, unless there is a schedule change. It is two Italian guys talking real estate. Today we're talking about the strategies of a changing market, and we discussed in the first segment, changing is not a negative. Matter of fact, change is going on all the time, no matter what part of your life, and this is just part of it. And the adjustments, you just have to be aware. And this is really the part where I hope the show, the relationships, the way Mike and I work, and people in this business, this is really where you get a lot of traction, and I hope that you get educated more, because when there is a market when it's really easy, when there's something really easy to do, then anybody could do it. When it's back to a normal market or people actually have to put some thought into it, some strategy, some conversation, some dialogue, that's even more important to be working with the right partners, the right people. We've talked about this for years, Mike.
Yeah.
And the underscore.
Yeah.
And it's worth mentioning again, it's not an indictment or a judgment on our industry as much as it is the truth. The truth is about 10% of us represent about 10% of the people, both in Mike's business and my business, basically do 90% of the business. Mm-hmm. And the reason why that is because very few people take it serious, educate themselves, invest in their business, invest in their clients, invest in everything they do, and not just money, time, energy, education.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we try to do is pass that along to you, the consumer. So Before we jump into the buyers, the one thing I want to mention, as I always like to, and I know you do too, Mike, make sure you're working with the right people and the right team, because you can't take a chance on something so expensive and valuable as buying a home, selling a home, financing a home, if you're working with someone that either doesn't take it serious or does it kind of when they want to, or when the market's good, they jump in. When the market's bad, they jump out. Just be careful of that kind of thing. And again, I hope I don't hurt any feelings, but I'm telling you, some of the worst deals you could do is with friends and relatives.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I mean.
Isn't it true?
Sometimes you get the whole, oh, yeah, my friend, my wife's my friend's a realtor, or my whatever, and I'm like, oh, God, here we go again.
Right.
And then usually, like, especially if I'm competing with another. So I mainly do business by referral and sphere of influence and stuff like that. So I don't often compete. You know, I don't have to interview against other people.
Right.
But when I do, I do research on those other people. And so it's always when it's the family friend or the wife or husband's friend, it's like they've done like one deal the last 2 years. And I'm not saying anything. It is what it is.
Yeah,
it's what
right.
they do or whatever. But they're just not. They're not active, you know, and there's the whole question of what do you have to lose by, you have to lose a lot in this industry. So it's not like, you know, you're buying a cup of coffee or selling, a product or, you know, a t-shirt. This is most people's most expensive asset of their lifetime. And so you really need to make sure that you're working with the right people and they're vetted and they're active and they're, again, educated and all that stuff. And so it is very important. I mean, it's a huge decision.
Yeah, just make sure, keep that in mind when you're about ready to make that decision. So let's jump in, and we're going to talk a little bit about buyer's strategies now. As we mentioned before, in this changing market, is becoming more of a, did a show I think last week, it is more of a buyer's market, I would say. And again, we're talking specifically Santa Clara County, Silicon Valley, the South Bay, and many areas around here. It's back to kind of a normal market. So let's talk a little bit about buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, first and foremost, it's good to be a buyer right now. And this is the best time as for a buyer, I don't know, what, 3 or 4 years?
Easily, yeah. Easily.
And that's a long time.
That's a long struggle. And that's why I think that we saw the pullback we did this year is they're just sick and tired of it, especially from the craziness we saw earlier this year, late last year. So that's a long uphill battle.
And some people keep emotional scars longer than others. So.
Some of us do, Joe. You want to talk about your emotional scars on this show?
we can do the Dr. Joe show instead of the Dr. Phil. So on the flip side, now you're getting ready to sit down and meet with a buyer.
Uh-huh.
And the buyer on the flip side, just like we talked about, the seller's concerned about the market.
Yeah.
So the buyer says, Mike, I really want to buy. However, I'm concerned. I'm seeing adjustments. I'm seeing homes sit around. I'm seeing price reductions. You know, people keep talking about interest rates going up. What's your comment to someone like that?
Yeah, it's, hey, good news. You're getting into the market now.
There
you go. That's somewhat realistic and normal. So it's good to know that now. I do a whole buyer presentation when I meet with the buyer, and it goes over. We get to know each other better. They get to know me, about my company. We go over the sales process. I have this whole flow chart I show them. And then we talk about the market. And then we really dial in what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And the main part of the conversation that has changed now, a part of the buying process, is the last few years, really buying a house has been all about, okay, when something comes up that you like, I mean, we got to go look at it right away, potentially see if we make a early offer or really try to get involved in it. Now it's like going back to, hey, there's probably a few houses that are going to match your needs, so we should go out and check a few of them out at one time. That way we could have dialogue and really kind of figure out what you're really looking for. So it's changed from the one-off showings to potentially going to 3, 4, or 5 houses in a setting.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a big difference right now.
And I'll say on the side of financing, so we're talking about a buyer. The one thing I want to add to this, just be really careful. If you were out looking to purchase about a year or so ago, all right, a year and a half ago when it was a really, really strong seller's market, and you're not working with someone that's staying on top of the market, on top of their game on the lending side, be really careful because you might be able to qualify for a lot more today. You'd be surprised than you were a year or so ago, because remember, if prices adjustments came down Now you're potentially getting some seller credits. Remember, all these things come into play. So these are the types of things that the buyers really need to be thinking about.
Yeah.
That, hey, it's not like it was a year ago.
No, it's not. And I was going to ask you, what are you seeing? Because you, as a lender, do a lot of pre-approvals, and you'll be getting people pre-approved.
Right.
I like to say pre-qualified, but that's really like kind of an old buzzword now, isn't
it? Yeah, well, it's a pre-qualified. It's kind of a pseudo. What do you make?
Yeah.
What do you, no, they don't show any documents. Yeah. They don't, you know.
It's, but pre-qual, that's like the word. It's still like in my brain. But anyways, pre-approved.
Yeah.
And you have probably had a lot of them sitting out there for a while. Now, are you seeing more people getting in? Getting locked into contracts?
You know, I'm still working with a lot of pre-approvals. Believe it or not, a lot of people are just kind of exhausted. And for whatever reason, maybe they, some kind of shock or, you know, what are the, I don't want to make fun of, you know, the different syndromes, but it's almost like some kind of, you know, potential buyer syndrome or something. It was so tough for so long.
Yeah, I could see
that. They're like, man, I don't know. And then, and it's almost this psychology like, so how come all of a sudden things change? So they start worrying about
that,
right?
They get worried.
Yeah, right.
So I think we're in that whole holding, kind of holding pattern right now.
Right.
Like when the market changes, the first 6 months are a little bit weird.
Yeah.
And no one kind of knows what's going on. And
right.
So what I would say to those people is maybe what this is really about, what this segment is about maybe is like, look, we don't know where the market's going. I mean, what we do know is that the economy is still good.
Mm-hmm.
The job market is still good. There's still a lack of inventory. And we know that interest rates are probably going to go up within the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So with all that being said, we don't know where that house on 123 Any Street is going to be in 3 months. Maybe the price would be a little bit less, but maybe interest rates will be a quarter higher or whatever. So it kind of is going to balance out. And I would say the main argument is, look, if you need a roof over your head, then you got to go out there and make it happen.
Right. I will say this. I know there's a lot of people that will kind of skate around and do the politician talk. But I will say this, that if you are in the market to buy, in other words, if you're sitting down with a Mike or I and you're saying, hey, I'm ready to buy. It's just that I'm concerned for A, B, and C, or D, or whatever. But you're ready and you're good to go. I would say buy.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate. And the reason I say that is, if you're going to own this home for 5, 7 plus years and it's a primary residence, whole different conversation if it's investment. We're talking about primary residence.
Yeah.
If you're going to be in that home for a while, then I would say,
don't worry about
just
it.
Buy it. Just buy it. And I'm
forget about it.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why is that the buyers now have a little bit of leverage. You have some options. You have some flexibility. And you know what? A year from now, you might not have that again. Just might not. And
I
some
mean,
would
even,
say, well, maybe not. But
even 2, 3 months from now, you might not have
might
that.
Not. Just you know? Not have that ability.
If the inventory drops to under 1,000 in the beginning of the year, it might be a little bit tougher again. And again, it's not going to be like it was last January. But it could get competitive on certain properties again if the inventory drops any lower. So
before we end the show, the one thing I want to say and kind of, summarize for me from my perspective is, and that's always funny, I'll relate it to the listening to the weather. It's always the weather is always funny to me because you always have an out. You know, it should be sunny, but you know, there could be an occasional rain or the wind could kick up, but so you always have an out. And so this is not what we want this show to be like. So we're going to give you some advice, some information and education, but I can tell you right now, if you're in the seat to be a buyer, get out there and buy. Don't wait. Because I won't flounder around that from my perspective. Get out there and buy. And if you're a seller, Mike talked about it, if you have concerns, talk to someone like Mike and understands his market and his business and discuss the strategies. But keep in mind, you may not have to sell your house to go buy a house. And we've talked about that before. We're not going to go into it now. My point is, before we kind of close out the show, Mike, is stay open-minded, change is good, and keep educating yourself and meet with someone like yourself and sit down and really build this strategy and find out what's motivating you, because something might come from that conversation that brings them alive to make a decision.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, very well said. And again, sit down with the right professionals and people that can help you make this decision. And I know a lot of people out there think they're a real estate expert, even if they're not in the field. I think I'll probably just leave it at that. But, I mean, you know, with everything on the internet now and Zillow and Trulia and all this and Redfin, there's still a lot of intricacies in a real estate transaction that you have no clue about. And so you really need to look at it from all angles
right.
and make a right decision, especially if it's your biggest asset
yeah.
you own.
So before we close out, someone wants to get a hold of you. They want more information, how you might be able to help them. What's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, you can go to my website, mikedsells.com, or 408-630-0101.
Very good. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
And as always, if you want to reach me, it's reradiolive.com or joe@reradiolive.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and continue to listen and watch the Facebook feed. We love you. Take care. Have a good afternoon. Bye.
See you guys.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.